It will certainly be a wonderful day when we are delivered from pressures and headaches and sorrows. There are some wonderful passages in Scripture that a time will come when Israel will be blessed by God. For example, Isaiah predicted that there would come a time when Israel would never weep again. Isaiah 30:19. Isaiah also predicted that there would come a time when Israel would return to her land with a joy that would be everlasting. Both of these themes of no more crying and perpetual joy were connected to the same prophet and would occur at the same moment. So there is a moment in time when God will personally create an environment for Israel that will feature total and complete blessing. The creation of that environment is what Psalm 68 is all about. What do we learn from this psalm? Well, we learn when Jesus Christ comes back to reign as Israel's king, all people will sing praise to God. All people will worship God and give honor to God because all people will realize He is the one who brought Israel to the place of blessing in fulfillment with His plan. Now, we may notice from the superscription that this is a psalm written by David for the choir director, and it was a song. So what this means is that David wrote this poetic psalm with the idea that it would be publicly communicated and even sung in corporate worship. So not only was this psalm to be taught, but also sung. Now, what is certainly implied in this psalm is that God's people will not really give God the praise He deserves until Christ's return. It's a tragedy that will take the horror of the great tribulation to bring Israel and the world to the point where it recognizes the majesty of God. But this is precisely what it will take. There's some parts to this psalm, and let's look at them right now. God's people will honor God when God gives victory. Look at Psalm 68, verses 1 through 6. God shall arise, His enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate Him shall flee before Him. As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. But the righteous shall be glad. They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. Sing to God. Sing praises to His name. Lift up a song to Him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exult before Him. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in His holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. So when David says in verse 1, let God arise, he has in mind a moment when God, person of Jesus Christ, will arise from the right hand of the Father and come to the earth in behalf of Israel. The truth is, God's people cannot even ever be totally happy until God arises and takes control of things. When Jesus Christ does arise, there are things that will happen to different groups of people. What's going to happen to His enemies? Well, God's enemies will be scattered. God's enemies will flee. They'll be driven away. They'll perish. What's going to happen to the righteous? Well, the righteous will be glad. Righteous will exult. The righteous will rejoice, and the righteous will sing. But what will happen to the hurting? Well, those who are fatherless will finally have a father. Those who are widows will finally have a judge. Those who are lonely will finally have a family. Those who are prisoners in poverty will finally have prosperity. And those who lived in parched land will finally live in a plush land. We do not preach this prosperity gospel, but we do preach a prosperity God. One day, God's people will live in prosperity produced by God. It will be a wonderful time for Israel when Jesus Christ returns. But also, God's people will honor God and they will remember past victories. Look at verses 7 through 14. O God, when you went out before the people, when you marched through the wilderness, Selah, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain. Before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel, rain in abundance, O God, you shed abroad. You restored your inheritance as it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. The Lord gives the word. The women who announce the news are a great host. The kings of the armies, they flee, they flee. The women at home divide the spoil. Though you men lie among the sheepfolds, the wings of a dove covered with silver, its pinions with shimmering gold. When the Almighty scatters kings there, let snow fall on Zalmon. There will come a time when Israel will remember some wonderful moments from her history in which God showed himself to be Israel's God. Israel will remember how God led her through the wilderness. She'll remember how God appeared to her at Sinai. She'll remember how God provided for her, giving food and water. She'll remember how God gave her the land. And verse 11 is critical because it proves that God is the one who commands things to happen for his people. And God commands that a great host of women proclaim good things about him. And God commands the political leaders and their armies flee the area. God commands that those who remain home divide the spoil. And God commands that the humble are rich. And God commanded the snow that he used to scatter kings. But God's people also honor God when they look at the mountain that will display his glory. Look at verses 15 through 18. O mountain of God, mountain of Bashan, O many-peaked mountain, mountain of Bashan, why do you look with hatred, O many-peaked mountain, at the mount that God desired for his abode? Yes, where the Lord will dwell forever. The chariots of God are twice 10,000, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them. Sinai is now in the sanctuary. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. God will one day specifically reveal his glory in a particular place in the Promised Land. This mountain is specifically identified as the Mountain of Bashan. Now Mount Bashan is a mountain range known as the Hermon Mountain Range. It contains three very lofty peaks, much like the Tetons on the Idaho-Wyoming border. Now, for those that have never seen, who have seen the Tetons, they are very beautiful, most majestic, it seems, in the United States. People come from all over the world to see these mountains. Mount Bashan will be a mountain of God. Mount Bashan has many peaks. Mount Bashan has been chosen by God, and it will be the dwelling place of God. If you ask most people today what's the most intimidating mountain in the world, it's Mount Everest. But there will come a day when all the people in the world will say that the mountain in Israel that features the presence of God is that place. But also God's people will honor God when Israel is restored. Look at verses 19 through 23. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Selah. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God, the Lord, belong deliverances from death. But God will strike the heads of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who walks in his guilty ways. The Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that you may strike your feet in their blood, that the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from the foe. It's a remarkable list here, what God has done and will do for Israel. God has borne daily the burdens of Israel. God is Israel's salvation. God is Israel's deliverer. God is Israel's sustainer. God will shatter Israel's enemies. God will regather Israel. But God's people will honor God when Jesus Christ triumphs as king. Look at verses 24 through 27. Your procession is seen, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers in front, the musicians last, between them virgins playing tambourines. Bless God in the great congregation. The Lord, O you who are of Israel's fountain. There is Benjamin, the least of them, in the land, the princes of Judah in their throng, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. What a glorious moment will be when Jesus Christ comes to reign as king. He will have a procession. His procession will have specific order. His procession will have specific praise. His procession will have specific families. And all kingdoms of the world will worship and honor Jesus Christ. Look at verses 28 through the rest of the psalm. Summon your power, O God. the power, O God, by which you have worked for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings shall bear gifts to you. Rebuke the beasts that dwell among the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples. Trample underfoot those who lust after tribute. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Nobles shall come from Egypt. Cush shall hasten to stretch out her hands to God. O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God, sing praises to the Lord. Selah. To him who rides in the heavens, the ancient heavens, behold, he sends out his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. Jesus Christ will be reigning in Jerusalem during the millennium, and all the kings of the world will come to honor him. He'll be so powerful in his reign that he will show his dominance even over the animal world. All kings of the world will acknowledge him, that he is the mighty God from heaven who has existed throughout all of time. Jesus Christ will reign in all his glory, and people will honor him as God. Notice he is worshipped as God in your sanctuary. Enemies of God will eventually be destroyed. A key to praising God is to remember past victories God has given. There are places that demonstrate God's glory, and when you see them, praise him. Always acknowledge the importance of Israel, because her very existence today proves how important to God she is. And honor Jesus Christ as God, and give him the glory and the praise he deserves now.